Yeah, it's nice to see everyone again, and a real privilege to share the word. It's always a daunting thing to do, just because you don't want to mislead people, you don't want to give the wrong information. But the Lord's really been on my heart. He's placed a topic on my heart, and that is a topic of heart. Yeah, the topic of my sermon is guard your heart. So there's 3 points I want to touch on through the sermon. Firstly, what is your heart? Then the characteristics of your heart, and then how to guard your heart. Now, I'm not talking about our fleshly heart. I know our fleshly heart is an organ that pumps blood through your body and keeps us standing and alive. That's for the medical experts to do. I'm going to talk about that one. I'm talking about our spiritual heart. So, in the Word, as I was researching, even in my spirit-filled life Bible, the word heart nearly appears 1,000 times in the Bible. And I think it's quite an important issue if it appears so many times in the Word. And what we understand of the heart these days, you know, in our world, we always, you know, there's a common cliche that says, no, just follow your heart, not your mind. So whatever your heart, what do you feel in your heart? All those things. And yeah, it's a common thing in the world, even for non-Christians. Follow your heart. You know, what's in your heart? You like that, you know. Your happy place. You know, it's all in your heart. And it's not just feelings and emotions. And sometimes you think you've got your heart under control. So it could be attached to your emotions and your feelings. You know, where do you separate your heart? You know, when you talk about the heart. Now, we're made out of a body, soul, and spirit. You know, this is our bodies. And spirit is alive in us. And then inside our heart is our soul. And our soul is our mind, will, and our emotions. Okay, and that's the very core of what we are. Our bodies will pass away and rot again as soon as the life is extracted from us. So what the heart also is, I want to start with Proverbs 4:23. And it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Our heart is basically the command center of our lives. It's where everything springs from. Okay? And it's not just feelings and emotions, but it refers to the center. It's a very epic center of our human being, of us as humans, is our hearts. And the interesting thing is our minds flows from our hearts. So you can't tell your mind how your heart's feeling. It's actually the other way around. All right. And there's a few other things that the heart is. The heart is the core of one's being. As I said, that's the very core. It's a seat of emotions and affections that we have. You know your heart. The Lord's speaking to our hearts now. So I need you to open your hearts as well. All right. It's the very source and thought and intentions come from the heart. It's the place of will, of our will and decisions we make. And then most important is the dwelling place of God. That's where God dwells, in our hearts. Okay, I'll go more into that. Then I'm going to go into a bit of the characteristics of our heart. And I want to just start with Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. So, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and is desperately wicked. Who really know how bad it is? But I, the Lord, shall search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So there's a bit of a shaker scripture. But our hearts, we know the scripture of, our hearts is deceiving above all. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we can look at any situation, anyone, as we want. We can't judge from the outside. And even how we present ourselves, doesn't matter how good you put on, what face you put on, the Lord will judge our hearts. So in this, going through the hearts, the characteristics, I was actually shocked to see from the Old Testament, all the verses that have reference to the heart. I didn't go through every verse, but there's like over 80 things that your heart represents. I'm going to quickly run through them for you to see. So what the heart can do, it can rejoice. Your heart can melt. Your heart can grieve. Your heart can tremble. Your heart can harden. Your heart can be renewed. Your heart can serve. Your identity is formed in your heart. Your heart can be proud. Your heart can be humble. Your heart can be troubled. You can have a merry heart. You can have a dead heart. Okay? You can lose heart. You can be discouraged. You can have an offensive heart. The Lord convicts our hearts, so you can have a convicted heart. When the Lord comes into your life, you hear it, but when it happens in your heart, that's when the Lord convicts you. Okay? The law convicts and condemns, but the Lord convicts our hearts. Okay? you can win hearts. The word speaks of winning hearts. You can have a wise heart, understanding heart, committed heart, forgiving heart. You've got an inclining heart, so you're inclined to something. You can have a loyal heart. You can have a joyful and glad heart. You can be upright in heart, uprightness. You know, integrity of heart, tender heart. Your heart can unite. Hearts unite as we unite in Christ. You know, hearts unite. A heart can despise. You can have a willing heart. You can have a father's heart. You have a singleness in heart where you're not wavered. You've got a singleness in heart. You can have a fearful heart. Your heart can carry you away. Our hearts can be carried away by all winds of doctrine, okay, and things of the world. Our heart yearns. Our heart could be weak for various reasons. Yeah, we can carry turmoil in our heart. Who's experienced that? You know, when you're fighting something in your heart, there's no rest in that. Your heart is also a storing place. It's a place where you retain stuff. So it could be good or bad, but it's a storing place. And that directs you, okay? Place of meditation, and your heart can overflow. Good or bad. Your heart overflows. A sound heart, perverse heart, sorrowful heart. And then we all know the psalm nicely, the psalm where it speaks of the broken heart, contrite heart. And the word also speaks of rend your heart. So that's also rend is like break it open. And that's what the Lord uses our hearts to break us open so he can work with us. He can't work with our brains. Established a bitter heart. You can carry so much bitter heart, bitterness, pure heart. You have a foolish heart. You make the stupid decisions, you know, in life. It's the foolish decisions, foolish things you do. And it stems from your heart. Judging heart, stubborn heart. You know, we sometimes grow up with stubborn hearts, depending on our cultures as well. You're like born with a stubborn heart because of whoever your generation is. Vengeance. You know, vengeance in your heart. Hey, it carries on. You can have a faint heart, dull. You can have a dictating heart. These are all references from the Word where the Lord uses a situation or where the nation was in. They had a dictating heart. Your heart knows. Your heart can degenerate. You know, it can go worse and worse and worse and worse. Till you're in a place of, you don't know where you're going. You're like in depression. But then the opposite is also true. Your heart regenerates. So then it like starts restoring and building up again. And that's all to do with your life. The heart endures. Your heart, you exalt your heart towards the Lord. You can have a resisting heart. You can have a believing heart. You can have a lustful heart. When you lust after various things, it's like that's the thing that drives you. And then our hearts can have a veil. We can have a blinded heart. That's where the Word talks about the veil of our hearts. We're blinded. That needs to be removed to see Him. So, sincere heart, self-seeking, trained heart. Our hearts get trained, purified. So, that's just a few, eh? And I didn't realize, you know, the heart contains so much. And it directs our path. And the Word says that He hides His Word in our heart so that we do not sin. Okay. So, let's go to Luke 6, verse 43 to 45. So, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is defined, identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Okay, so now we're getting into a bit more nitty-gritty stuff here. So, sometimes we try and fix our hearts through our minds, and it doesn't work. If we think we have to change our heart, we think we need more knowledge, more teaching. We have to listen to this guy, and listen to that guy, and get a degree and do Bible school and do this and do that. We need more knowledge. It will change our hearts. But it won't. Because we can't fix our hearts through our minds. It's the other way around. Our minds, we fix our minds with our hearts. And then we start thinking. And you can think of practical examples from yourself. Our brains is merely a gift that gives us ideas. You know, it's a real gift from God. You can have all the knowledge. But your outcome and your actions stems from your heart. Because your heart is directly affected. When someone offends you, where are you hit first? In your heart, your gut. And then what happens from there? And you start thinking about things. And you start thinking what you're going to do, how you're going to react. And you say things, you do things. When any trauma hits your life, your heart's affected. And your mind starts playing games. And your mind tells you do this, do that. And it stems from your heart. When someone gives you a fright, it's not your brain that goes twingling, it's your heart that, you know, that gets the fright. It's with anything. It stems from the heart. So you can have all the knowledge and actually miss God. You can miss what's your problem if you try and work it out in your head. And that's why the word says the Lord convicts your heart. He doesn't convict your brain or your ideas. He convicts your heart. And from that, you enlighten. You suddenly realize, but it stems from the heart. Okay? So you cannot change your heart through an understanding in your mind. So you try and understand it. And that's why when we pray that you know, like when the Spirit, you need to be filled with the Spirit, or the Lord, touch my heart, not my mind. You eventually pray to clear your mind, because sometimes our minds are clouded with things, but it always stems from the heart. It always comes from the heart. So there's no amount of education and knowledge that can change your heart. No religious efforts can change hearts. And we know that from the Lord. So it doesn't matter how good you are. I'm not sinning this and that and that and that and that. I do my duties. Even I go out and I feed the poor, and I go and visit orphans, and you know, all those, and it's good things. I'm not saying it's wrong. Please understand me. But sometimes we strive religious effort to justify our faith and to give peace to our hearts. But it only lasts for a moment, because whatever's in your heart will determine your fruit. So sometimes you have a heart to serve orphans, and I'm not playing that down, but don't use it as a barrier or thinking that that's going to fix you. By serving, if you've got an unhealthy heart, by serving physically is not always going to fix it. The Lord needs to convict your heart. And out of the overflow, you serve. And you do this. And the fruit comes, as we read in that verse. So, you know, Jesus also, in Matthew 23:15, he confronted the Pharisees, because they had all the knowledge of the law. They knew every little letter of the law. And then he says to them, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn to that person into twice the child of hell you yourselves are. Because of the works, they think that just doing the right thing and knowing the law, they don't know that they don't know Jesus. He's in front of them. They can't see him." And in Mark 7:6-7, Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is false, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" And that's in our worship as well. Even as we worship this morning, our hearts need to connect with God. It's not getting through the song list. It's not someone being out of tune. It's not having the ideal whatever in front, or the right order of songs. It's about the heart. It's not any man-made idea. And Jeremiah 31:33, he says, "But this is the new covenant I will make with my people, the people of Israel, after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep in them, and I will write them on their hearts, not in their minds. I will be their God, and they will be my people." So he's adamant. He's very adamant about the heart. Psalm 139:1-2. "O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away." So, guys, we need a heart doctor. The Lord is a heart doctor. And a lot of times when He fixes our hearts, a lot of other things get fixed in our lives. We get delivered. We get healed even. The book of Jude, be healthy as your heart is healthy. So in Ezekiel, what's the next one? Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take your heart, stony, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. So our hearts respond. We can't worship with our minds and try and respond with our minds. We need that heart connection. And it comes back to our relationship, you know, with the Lord. If we try and have a religious relationship with the Lord, it won't work. We have to give our hearts. We have to connect to the Lord with our hearts. Any religious effort is going to keep you away from the heart of the Lord. There's a few comparisons between a dead heart and a new heart. If you have a dead heart, you have the freedom to indulge in your compulsions. So your compulsions come from your heart. If you emotionally, even if you're having a bad time, you just go and grab something to eat or you have some funny thing happening. It's a compulsion. So if you have a dead heart or an unhealthy heart, you have those unhealthy compulsions. If you have a new heart, you're free from compulsions because you're at peace. If you have a dead heart, you do what feels good. With your new heart, you do what is good. A dead heart, you've got the freedom to sin. So easy to sin. And a new heart has a freedom from sin. Yeah, if your dead heart is easy to break the law, and a new heart fulfills the law. As he says, the law is written on our hearts. He writes it on our hearts. So we have it on our hearts. We know we must fulfill it. A sick heart, it's like any choice is a good choice. You know, that thing that I spoke about. No, just follow your heart. You know, it's like, just go with your heart. And we have some very sick choices we make in life from that. And a healthy heart, you will always choose between good and evil. You will seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in your choice. Make sure. I've made many unhealthy choices in life because of emotions. If you're in a bad place in your life, emotionally, in trauma, when you've lost something, even when you lose your job, and you don't know where to go, what to do, you grab at anything, and sometimes it's not the right thing. Any trauma in your life, you're desperate. When you're in a desperate situation, you want to make that. You need to. And there's no time. And how many times do you make the wrong decisions? Because it's from the wrong posture in your heart. The Lord wants to come in and say, okay, just wait. I'll show you. I want to heal your heart. So we must really, really guard our heart. The most important thing in your life, the heart is the most important thing in your life because it determines the course of your life. Our hearts determine our course, where we go. We can have a lot of information. A lot of advice, practical things you read about. This is how you do this. This is how you do this. But your course in life is determined by the heart, where your heart directs you and takes you. Yeah, we must understand the flow of wisdom and knowledge. What we see, hear, and speak goes to our hearts first. And then it goes to our minds, and we react. So now I'm coming to also the part where in Proverbs and James that we've done, what comes out of your mouth defiles your heart. So a lot of times we say things and our heart gets ugly, but it's also the other way around because it's what's in your heart, what comes out of your mouth. Okay, so if you have been harboring anger or harboring rejection or harboring offense, when that button is pushed, when you're in a bit of a situation, whatever's in there is going to come out of your mouth. That's the truth. No one can deny it. And we've all experienced it. Then when you finish saying something, you think, I wish I didn't say it. I don't know why it came out of my mouth. Huh? Because it was in your heart. It's been in your heart all along. And we need to deal with it. And that's why the Lord wants us to deal with our hearts. He speaks about our heart the whole time. His Spirit wants to live in our hearts. That's the very place where God wants to dwell. A dead heart or deceased heart is fatal. It's fatal. It can kill you. It can kill your spirit. And it's very important for the Lord. So now the last part is the guarding of our hearts. Because the Lord says in so many places, you know, guard your heart. Guard your heart. So the first thing I want to say is stay close to the one who put the heart in you, your Creator. Stay close to Jesus. He's the one who put His heart in you. And we are in this world, we're born into this world, and we encounter all these things, and He's put measures in place to guard our hearts and to stay close to Him. Because He wants to direct the course of our lives. But we've all had lives. We've all in this world, we've had different experiences growing up. We didn't know the Lord. And so we all sit with things in our hearts. And even if you've been a Christian, I've had to test my heart a few times, even in this week. So, yeah. I'll just say what being so aware of it. The moment you receive, or when you feel in your heart like offense or this, something doesn't feel right, it's so, so quick to react, to reply, or to answer, or to come to a conclusion. And if you are able just to settle your heart and try and tame your tongue, not to say anything too quickly or reply a message too quickly or an email or a person, and just take time and meditate on it and say, Lord, what is this? Show me first what's in my heart before I react. And even if I'm right, how do I react? If the other person is wrong, how do I react? Because sometimes my reaction is not good. So that's where the word says guard our hearts. So we need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 21:23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and then you will stay out of trouble. How good is that? So my New King James Version speaks of the guard. That one is a bit more straight. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. So your whole soul will be kept safe, out of trouble. But that's quite a good one. Shut your mouth. Yeah, that's just what I was talking about. Okay, and the next verse, Philippians 4, verse 7. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So that's the answer. Okay, at the end of the day, that's the answer. To experience God's peace in your heart. And he says there, which exceeds anything we can understand. So our minds understand, okay? So when Christ fills our hearts with peace, that exceeds anything we can understand with our mind. You don't know how it happens. And that's why we need to open our hearts and say, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come. Convict my heart. Fill me. Change my heart. And he changes our heart. You've got to encounter. When you encounter the Lord in His presence, that's when our heart starts changing. And saying that as well, a lot of us have encountered the Lord, and the Lord doesn't change our hearts instantly and we all of a sudden holy, then there's a walk of sanctification. Then we start walking. But every time we react, then we know when we say things wrong, when we do things wrong, and then we can repent. Lord, what is, okay, there's this thing still in my heart that's not nice. What is it? Can I change it? Next time you know, there's a warning. When it happens again, he puts up a guard. He says, remember last time. Don't do it again, you know? And then you start creating new habits in yourself. And the last verse is 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5. So may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. So there's a patient endurance that comes from Christ. He's got patience with us. He's got patience with me. I mean, there's still things that need to change day by day. And the Lord leads our hearts. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you with that, you know, as we close, that there is conviction in our hearts. And I believe there's, in all of your hearts, there's some form of conviction that you've experienced. And something in your heart that you've experienced that isn't healthy. We need healthy hearts. And the Lord's given us a clear guideline to guard our hearts and how wicked our hearts can be. And we need to caution against that, because that determines our life. That leads the way to our life, to everlasting life. And He's given us the life. He's given us the outcome. That's why He came to earth. We can't go back to the law and rules and set of regulations how to do it. It's just the encounter that will do it for us. And the surrender. To surrender our hearts. He loves a broken, contrite heart before Him in any area. So I want to challenge you this morning. As we're going to pray now. And if you need more prayer in a specific area, we gladly help. But I want to challenge you as we pray now. There's things in your heart that you need to lay down and that you need to change. It could be a small thing. It could be a big thing. It could be an addiction. It could be anger. It could be offense. All those things I mentioned. There's just so many characteristics that we can lay down and ask the Lord, Lord, please change this in my heart. And don't try and understand it. Just ask Him to come and do it. Okay. Great. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. You're such an awesome God, Lord. And we know, Lord, that You created the very being, our very being, Lord. What are we without You? You are the very breath of life in us. You breathe Your life the day You decide to withdraw Your life and breath from us, Lord. We're not here anymore. And whilst we're here, Lord, You want to work in our hearts. Because we're part of Your kingdom. We want to be part of Your kingdom. You want to direct us to be close to You. Lord, we want to stay close to You, the very makers of our heart. You made our hearts. Lord, we want to return to the original state. Come and regenerate in us this morning, Holy Spirit. As we lay our hearts down before You, Father. We bring our hearts. And we want to lay down any offense, any rejection, anything that flows out of our mouths, from our hearts. Come, Jesus. Just come and speak to our hearts this morning. Any slander in our hearts, any judgment we have, any resentment we carry, come and renew our hearts, Lord. So that our heart, that our minds can be renewed in the way we speak, in the way we act. We know our overflow this week hasn't been always the bearing of the fruit, Lord. We've all said things that did not bear your fruit this week. And we ask you for forgiveness, Lord, this morning. Lord, forgive us where we have not bear fruit according to your heart. Things that we've harbored in our hearts, sometimes all our life, sometimes just this week. Lord, I pray that you would come and take that, Lord. Change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows us. You, that you are the shepherd of our souls, as in Psalm 23. And you guide us continually with your rod and your staff. Your rod of correction. Your staff to keep us comfort. That we are on the right path. And it's sometimes horrible the things that come out of us, Lord. But Father, you have grace. You have the grace and you've made a plan for us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ. You keep on building in us, Lord. Let us build well in our lives. In our souls, Lord. We need that solid foundation in us, Lord. In our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so faithful. And that you would not let us alone. That you will not leave us alone. That you are coming after us. That you are jealous for us. That you yearn for us. For our hearts. And let us not resist that, Father. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him now. Allow him to come into your heart and change your heart. I thank you, Jesus. Yeah, amen.